Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Today, we are going to extend something you've heard a lot on this podcast, that people will ignore reality for purposes of politics. But today, I want to give an example where even when an individual's interests are at hand, and not only their interests, but the interests of the people who look up to them as heroes are at hand, they will ignore reality. They'll laugh it off. I want to preface this. This is going to be about women's sports. That has nothing to do, as I talk about this, about differential results or poor results for women's sports, about trying to disrespect women's sports. I think they're an awesome part of society. I think women who are in sports, it teaches the same great lessons, and girls that are in sports, the same great lessons that it does for men's sports. I think it's awesome. I think that if Caitlin Clark brings more eyes to the WNBA and it sticks, great. In some countries, the women's leagues are actually more popular. For whatever reason, the charisma, the personalities, the level of play that is able to maybe be better on the international level than maybe their guys. There are some countries where the women sports stars are the stars, including the whole league, not just individuals who made it to some great team globally. So with that preface, we're going to talk about Megan Rapinoe. She was approached during a parade here recently and asked, hey, you know, what do you think of boys being able to be on teams just because they call themselves girls? Now, that's not the way the reporter put it. You know, quote, transgender, I'm putting it that way. Someone who's introduced to sexuality and gender too early, pressured to make these decisions early, and now has decided that even though they have a penis, they're a girl. What do you think, says reporter, of the fact that this puts at disadvantage the girls' soccer players and takes away opportunities for them, and isn't it bullying and mean? And this is, I'm paraphrasing the various things a reporter said. And Megan Rapinoe, knowing perfectly well she's the hero to girls, and the truth of the matter is that boys playing against girls have an inherent advantage, and that's what we'll talk about the rest of this. This is what we'll make concrete, just the advantage that makes this part relevant. Not to push it into the ground that boys are better than girls at physical stuff. Hello, testosterone. No news flash here. Testosterone versus estrogen. By physical stuff, I mean explosive things. There are some sports in which, endurance-wise, women are better. Long endurance stuff. There are other things physically that women are better at, as we all know. But when it comes to things that require explosive elements or quickness or power, or pure total strength. Hello, testosterone. See East German women in the 1970s and the 1980s. Hello, testosterone. Hashtag no newsflash. So, even though it's in the interest of the little girls who look up to her, because she is one of the most famous, part of one of the most famous moments in the last decade, I would say, and certainly one of the most famous, in the last 2-3 decades of women's soccer on the U.S. level. So she just ignores it, ignores the question. Then somebody gets in front of her, and in front of the reporter, she can't finish the question. Doesn't try to respond, just laughs it off. Now, she can do that. I mean, I'm not outraged. I'm just observing that she's ignoring the reality, and ignoring reality due to politics, but not just ignoring reality of the interest of the people who look up to her as a hero. Now, from this, I'm going to go to a result that helps prove the point, because the reporter had this result, and this was part of the question. You know, to show that, hey, isn't this unfair? They pointed to, this is something I didn't know. I'll get to that in just a second, a certain result that will be stark. I can tell you that I did know that major women's college basketball programs. This is old news, but just to emphasize, like UConn, like women's powers. I know UConn has been as much of a power as they were for about 10 years there as of several years ago. Still a good team, still a power, but not as much of a power. So that they were more ready for their competition, kind of like swinging with a weight on your bat. So when it comes to actually swinging, it all seems easier. They and then other basketball powers on the women's college side would recruit guys on campus who are just students and say, hey, any chance you want to scrimmage against us? Just helps us, you know, figure out how to play against people that are closer to our level. You know, if you have to play against someone just as strong or bigger or taller, you end up having to work the nuance, having to work the skills that if you can just physically dominate, that you don't have to. So think if Shaquille O'Neal suddenly had to play against 8-foot people who were 400 pounds. He'd have to work some nuance into his game. Did you hear me? Shaquille O'Neal would have to work some nuance into his game. Did you hear me? Shaquille O'Neal and nuance. Two things you wouldn't normally put together. So yes, I knew that, but in terms of the women's national team, the reporter said, hey, remember in 2017 when you played a boys team? Okay, I want to be clear. Not the boys 17 and under or whatever that classification is, national team. No. Not the national team for the U.S. boys that was whatever it would be, 15 and under. They played a boys team that was under 15 that was a part of only the Dallas Football Club. Okay, that makes sense. Maybe they're doing the thing like the college basketball teams are, the women's college basketball teams. Might make sense. And that's fine, and that's good. And the truth of the matter is they foresaw that, and they were being truthful about it. This is a great tune-up. It was in April of 17. They played Russia soon after, twice. So we're going to talk about those relative results between the under-15 team of the Dallas Football Club and then the rest of the results that the national team had against other countries, national teams on the women's side. They lost 5-2. 5-2. This is not to bag on women. They have inherent advantages and inherent strengths. As a high schooler, I came to the clear and obvious conclusion in my head. As the guy who was one of the smarter kids in his class, I said, girls are better than boys. I came to the clear conclusion, and I said it out loud, and I said it repeatedly. Girls are better than boys. So I'm not some guy who just bags on women, but I am somebody who realizes, hey, guess what? If I wrestled at 119, which is one of my weight classes when I was still in high school, and I had to wrestle an 185-pounder, guess what? It wouldn't go well for me. And so by the same token, girls against boys, you know, hashtag testosterone is no newsflash. So they lost 5-2 against the under-15 team, but in truth, it was a tune-up for Russia. So let's look at their results. So they lost by 3 goals. Now, you could say it's a friendly, whatever, right? But they have a tune-up, and I'm sure they're not trying to lose to a under-15 boys team. They just realize they might get their butts handed to them, but it'll be a good way to kind of reset things and see where they are and have some nice competition. So let's look at the other results from that year. And even previous, so this was in March of 17. In 16, they basically did not lose. They had a really, really good year, except once. So this is per Wikipedia. I'm looking from January of 16 either. We're talking even Olympic qualifying level stuff. And it's only until June when they finally have a tie. There's many, many matches that year. They tie in a friendly with Japan. And then they have multiple friendlies. After the tie, they go on about a 5-match streak, and they don't allow a goal. They go up, 11-0 over five matches. That includes the first part of the Olympics. Then they tie in the Olympics to Colombia. And then they lose to Sweden in the quarterfinals via penalty kick. After that, September through November of 16, they go on about a six-game win streak, all friendlies, but still. And the point differential is, let me figure this, 16, 21, 29, 34-3 in six matches. So that's where they're coming from. But they definitely start 17 a little slow. And so I wonder if possibly they lost some folks off the national team. So in March of 17, they win 1-0 in the She Believes Cup against Germany. Then they lose 0-1 against England in the same cup. They lose 0-3 to France. That is their worst loss all year. I just told you, they played under 15 boys once, and they lost 5-2. So they lose by three goals to France in March 7th of 17. They play the boys, lose 5-2. In early April, about April 3rd of 17. And then they play two friendlies against Russia, and the goal differential is 9-1. They allow one goal. They win by four goals each time, 4-0, 5-1. Then they have a couple friendlies, win them 1-0, 1-0. So goal differential one. Another one goal differential, which is Australia, but they lose. Then we have a... They go on about a six-match win streak where their goal differential from July through later October is 24-5. Then in November, they tie against Canada. As far as losing, and we'll get to that, I'll come back to that. Then after the tie against Canada, they win three more times in a row. The first two are friendlies with an 8-2 victory margin in total. And then they win in the She Believes Cup against Germany 1-0. France, they tie in the She Believes Cup. And they win 1-0 against England. And, well, actually, I'm now past all of 17. The 17 ended on November 17th with the 3-1 against Canada. So looking at back at the whole season, then from 17, their only losses were 0-1, 0-3, 0-1 in all of 17, and then they did have one more tie. Their goal differential in losses was, again, then the worst one was three goals. Otherwise, they lost by one and lost by one, and then they tied. And so, I know one is a very small sample size, but then you look at their victories. Their victories, they, you know, starting on March 17, there's a four-goal victory, 1-1-1, three-goal victory, two-goal victory, five-goal victory, 2-6, a tie, and then a two-goal victory. So, again, then, they did just fine that season. Lost a few times, but not by a whole lot. Worst victory margin, or rather defeat margin, was the same defeat margin as against the boys, but nobody put up five against them, and they lost. Nobody put up five against them, period. And they never lost 2-5. So again, it's not about what the results were. It's more about how the results inform the relevance of the argument, and that Meg Rapinoe and others like her are just willing to take one for the team. They're just willing to sacrifice their own interests and the interest of their gender and the interest of the segment of the population that looks up to them, because somebody suddenly added another fringe to LBTQ and told them, no, you don't get to oppose that. And they are to shut off their brains and be quiet and do a proper laugh. I don't know. I don't know how she laughed. All right, guys, just another stark example. Is it relevant about humans with penises, also known as boys or men, being able to just say that they're girls? That's how you get to play against girls. You know what? Live your life as a girl. Go at it. Do it. The one place you don't get to do that is against competition with girls. That's the only thing. That's the only limitation. And that's the only thing you want to do. And that's where you're getting your pride. You're a bully. You're a bully. If I went into the UFC and somehow was in their master's division and got to be okay, well, guess what? I should be in about the, if I was lean, probably I would make weight at 145, because they lose a lot of weight. Maybe even 135. I don't remember the weight class off the top of my head. Guess what? If I had to fight somebody who's 190 pounds, I'd be in deep trouble. Or if I was a boy and for some reason lost my nads at age 9 and then had to go wrestle or fight against somebody who did not lose their nads when they were 12 through 18, I would be in trouble. I would have a tiny frame. I don't have a big frame now, but you know what I mean. It's just reality. And the truth of the matter is, when politics gets too much of a grasp on society, and I've said before, the reason politics gets too much of a grasp on society is because you've created the attraction of the power comes from the government. The power comes from the taxpayer money. If you keep it out of scope and it's none of their business, then the insanity ensues less, because there's no power to be had in decision making. There's no power to be had in deep pockets. And then they just keep to themselves and they go, oh, well, I'll live and let live. But there is no live and let live. The further rabid a society gets with centralized decision making, with centralized decrees, with centralized money being spent. That was my cat jumping around. I am a cat dad. Him's knocked something over. I wish he had not. On the glass, I don't think it broke. That was not a government decision. But one would think that probably the government could rationalize that. Yes, cats should be able to drop things off of the sidearm of your couch at a high level so that it possibly puts your glass end table at risk, because that's how they identify. They identify as gravity checkers, and that's their thing, and you cannot oppose that. You must only... Hey, don't you think that's risky to the end table, to let your cat push things off onto the glass end table all the time? I just have to repair my end table more often, because I can't speak out against the, you know, LGBTQ+++ CGCs. That's cat gravity checkers. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley. Catch me here and on Chemology 411.